We're going to make plays. We're going to play hard. We're going to do what we got to do. O-line, D-line, toughness, 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 toughness.
Hey, Buckeye Nation. Welcome to the Buckeye Cast, your only commercial-free Ohio State football podcast. These guys were born and bred in the Buckeye State, and they like to talk Buckeye football and drink bourbon. Subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. Now, pour a drink and pull up a stool. Here's your host, Joe Warwick.
We are back, baby. It's been so fucking long. When's the last time we talked to these people, Sean?
It's been a while.
Yeah, been a minute. So, as always, folks, we appreciate you joining us. Hope you're checking out the press conference podcast that we're putting out. Just wherever you get podcasts, you'll find our previous episodes. I just put out all the press conference interviews from Friday with the assistant coaches and Ryan Day. The Coach Mick one was my favorite. He went for like 30 minutes. A couple other guys went for 30 minutes. Jim Knowles is always good to listen to because he's just pretty freaking smart. And he'll tell you the nuts and bolts of the defense if you ask the right questions. So check those out. As always, hit the supply store, thebuckeyecast.com. I just put out four new designs a couple weeks ago, so check those out. And as always, free shipping for any order over $50. So buy two shirts, free shipping. Boom. Done.
Boom.
Guys, you got any bourbon talk since it's been so long? I'm sure you've digested a little. Sean, you taking in any of the brown stuff?
No, actually, the last thing that I had that I would feel like needed to be mentioned was I just tried that tequila that is at 1492, I believe, and that's some pretty nice, smooth stuff. I don't know.
Not to be confused with 1792 bourbon?
Be confused with that.
What?
1492 tequila.
Gotcha.
Oh, Farah.
What was that? Don, who?
You guys hear that?
What's
that? Sorry.
Sean's dropping out a little bit, but...
Sorry, I thought that was an Amber Alert that came through my cell phone. I didn't put it on Do Not Disturb. So I got an end. I thought you guys were hearing it, too. I was like, oh, shit, we got a fire drill.
Oh, jeez.
It was an Amber Alert that comes through the iPhone, so... Oh. Sorry about that. Technical difficulty. I'll fix that real quick.
Anyway... So, Sean, tequila, Don Julio, 1492. Would you drink that on the rocks or?
Nope, straight up in a tiny little glass, just super smooth. You start getting into those nicer tequilas, and some of that stuff is nice. Yeah. You move into the tequila direction.
I got a question, Sean. So Sean, you prefer your tequila just neat, warm, room temperature? You're good with that? Or I mean, do you go
rock? 1492, this 1492, I was completely happy with it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I only had it once and just had a little bit of it.
I enjoy a good tequila. I do like a good tequila, but I gotta have it chilled. I gotta at least shaken and rock, and stirred.
I think it's gotta be
chilled. I'm gonna sip it.
I think you'd probably be ruining this stuff. To be honest with you.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have room in my bar for more bottles. It's smothered with bourbon.
It's a real tall, slim bottle. It doesn't take up much real estate.
Nice. So I can keep it in my car.
You know those little pockets behind the front seats?
Yeah.
Where you put your map or your napkins or something? Yeah, just slide a little bottle of tequila in there. Nobody will notice it.
Right. Fine. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I guess tequila is kind of the summer drink, right? If we're talking seasonal liquors.
Give it a try.
Yeah.
I
would treat it like a nice bourbon, you know.
I'll tell you what, Salt Rim.
You don't drink the bottle of this.
Right. Unless you don't want to wake up tomorrow.
I'm good with a margarita. If you want to go Heavy Rocks, Salt Rim, your choice of tequila, whatever. Heavy lime squeeze. No, none of that. No margarita juice, none of that premix bullshit. I'm with that. Yeah, and just sip it. Just a sipping margarita, not a fruity frozen cocktail.
I like margaritas. Yeah.
And it's got to be chilled. I'll do shots warm. And nightmares of younger when I was doing 1800 Cuervo, just warm. Ugh. But
yeah, you would
chill
a
little bit.
I
can sip tequila all day long if I have it chilled.
So it'd be like doing a shot of buffalo, right?
Yeah, like
you would sip it.
Buffalo warm,
right? Well, you would sip it because you want to taste it, right, Sean? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you shoot it. It's like, that's gone.
Yeah, you just paid $30 for a shot you never tasted.
Yeah,
you taste it once, like, oh, that was good. I wish I had. Well,
yeah. All right, folks, so tonight we're going to run through a potpourri of things, just a bunch of topics, but our main topic is the future of college football. Sometimes I forget we're actually talking to people. So we're going to quickly talk about roster updates, guys coming and going, and we'll get into our main topic about the future of college football. I want to get Jeff and Sean's takes. Because we are men of the people, we have been with people, and we care about what you guys think. So we want to give you our two cents, and if you have the same opinion, let me know. So what do you guys think? You want to talk a little quick NFL draft? Three Buckeye receivers going in the first round, right in a row?
I want to mention that. But Buckeye fans are catching so much shit. For saying that exact statement you just said.
Yeah.
Because there's all these fans, and it's SEC. It's not just Bama fans.
Oh, it's, yeah. Well, they stick together down there.
The Mason-Dixon line cutoff is calling us fucking phonies for claiming Jameson Williams. Like, you're hopping on a
SEC.
SEC. Yeah. You know what I mean? I didn't think there was any type of venom, but there is, for real. I'm seeing some of it. I'm like, wow. I guess we can't claim him. If he does bigger production at another school, i.e. Burrow, the fucking South will not let you claim him, you goddamn carpetbaggers.
Yeah.
Don't be claiming them boys from the South. Like,
Developed there, not developed here.
Yeah, made. You know, they say made here. That's what they say.
False.
But that was really cool. That was really cool to see, because the three of them are really good friends. You know, I think they went to Bama's spring game last year and saw J-Mo, I think. And they've been together a lot, Jameson, Garrett, Chris. So, they're still really close friends. So I think it's super cool they went, in a row together. Prospect-wise, I don't know. I like Olave with the Saints more, I think, just because they're a better established organization. But the other two, they're with shit organizations historically. Yeah. Hopefully that changes for them.
Got Jameis slinging it around down in the Big Easy.
It's been Sean Payton, though. It's been that, when you say the Saints have a good organization, when Sean Payton was there, he's not there. Let's see what Jameis does. Let's see how good that organization is without, their leader. But, I think it's super cool that the three of them, all going in together. They're close friends. They went, back to back and picks. I don't know how they decide who buys dinner, since they all got the same draft. They all got the same contracts. But
Sean, what do you think about J-Mo going that early with an ACL?
I didn't love the I'm up here in Detroit Lions land, and for them to move up to get J-Mo coming off a knee, I mean, I think it's pretty much a given. You get a knee now, a knee's not a big deal. But once you have one knee, now it is a big deal because you don't have another one to give, pretty much.
And he may not be able to play for the first 4 to 6, 8 weeks. Who knows?
That's what they said. Maybe November. Maybe by mid-November he'll be ready. So that's fast. That's fast. I mean, from January to November, you're still 10.5 months or so. That's a fast turnaround on ACL. I know it's getting better and better every year, but not everybody is Adrian Peterson. There's only a handful that do it inside of a year. It's not like a given yet.
Yeah. Yeah, he did, tear it late in the season there. So,
goddamn January. It was the playoffs.
Yeah. Yep.
It's risky, no doubt. I mean,
but that's what the Lions do, right?
why not try anything?
And I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way. When J-Mo left, I thought, hey, good on you, kid. You know where you stood here, and you were going to be a part of it, but you weren't going to be the guy. And you saw an opportunity to go to Bama. I thought, hey, right on, good for you. And then he came out with that, I don't claim them, they don't claim me bullshit kind of stuff. And was it his dad or whatever writing shit or whatever, and some words said on the interwebs. And then that starts to sour me on that type of stuff. And we'll see how it plays out. I wish him the best.
Yeah.
As far as Olave and Wilson go, I think, I don't know, I'm excited to see him play. I'd probably agree with Jeff, at least he's in a good system on a good organization. We'll see about
Olave.
We'll see about that, Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, quick, I need to jump back to the bourbon segment. We forgot to finish one thing. Jeff, how was that brown butter bourbon I gave you?
Good. Different. I drank it. I drank it just a little bit of ice. Just a little bit of ice.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Yeah. I would have a shot of Old Forester. I would sip a shot and sip that. Like I would trade off and on.
Oh.
Like sip back and forth. It was a little strong. I mean, not strong is the word.
Okay.
Just a little change up. I said, Lord, for
sounds old like you hated it. Queens.
Yeah.
No.
I wouldn't say hated it.
I wouldn't
dance around that shit.
Okay. That's all right. I just was curious. I think it tastes like butterscotch candies. Those old school, old people candies. It's like you popped one of those in your mouth and took a shot. But
yeah,
I just wanted to get your feedback on that.
Yeah, but I did mix. I did sip some regular bourbon or straight bourbon, just to kind of cleanse the palate.
Okay. Right now I have some bacon fat bourbon. So,
oh,
watch out! Next time you come around,
what did you use? Which one did you use?
It was shit. Larceny?
Larceny?
No. Walking stick. It was walking stick.
Mm.
So, anyway, I'll next time you come around, I'll probably still have some. Anyway, okay. Back to the draft. Uh-huh. I wanted to point out on the draft. You notice that no Ohio State defensive players were taken until day 3. And I think that is a glaring reason why the defense was so terrible. I mean, take scheme out of it. But I don't feel like we just had the talent. I mean, and how does freaking Haskell Garrett not go drafted? There must be some medical issue there.
Correct on both points. Yeah, not sure. No word. Obviously, there's been no word out of Ohio State about Haskell in the draft. I mean, it's not really their place anymore. So I haven't really followed Haskell Garrett on Twitter or Instagram and try to figure out if there is anything going on with him. But Tyreek Smith being the only defensive player drafted, it speaks to exactly what you're saying, Joe. 100%. We haven't had NFL talent coming out of that defense the last couple of years. The ones we have been drafted high. Pete Werner, he got drafted, top three rounds? Played like a top three rounder. Contributor.
Yeah.
Obviously we've had the first round defensive backs the last couple of years, blah, blah, blah. And then Okuda dealing with injuries. Chase Young, both of them injuries in their second year. Hopefully they bounce back and become impact players in the NFL. But we haven't had them. We've had that. There's been a gulf in the NFL talent wise. Ratings to play college. We've had those. But those guys that are ready to be NFL players just need a little bit of developing. We haven't had those in the last two cycles. We have them. I think we have them in the program now. I think there are some in the program now. We just missed. We had a little lull. I think we have them still in the pipeline, but man, we hit a little lull. Yeah.
Sean, you think we can blame injuries, or you think it's just misses on guys?
Yeah, I think misses on guys, frankly.
There you go. Yep.
Guys that just didn't, they came in highly touted and just didn't pan out. I think next season you're going to have a few more than that. Just because the way the cycle's going to fall.
Yeah.
Good thing Burke won't even be eligible. But he's going to be, highly sought after draft pick when he is.
Yeah.
We'll see what all comes out of the safety position. Linebackers, I don't know. Well, obviously, that's a huge question mark. I don't even know who our linebackers are going to be. There's so many of them.
I don't know if one's going to be able to set himself above the rest and be draft eligible, at linebacker. I mean, and DBs, we haven't put out a DB since Okuda, right? Okuda and Arnett, 2019, class, right?
Yeah. Well, Jordan Fuller.
Fuller, but that was sixth round, man.
Fuller, Arnett, all same year.
I get that, but I'm saying first round draft pick, starting corner like Lattimore, Okuda, that type. We haven't had that in a couple of years, and I understand Seven Banks had the injury. And hand up, I was the guy that a year and a half ago, over a year ago, put in a bet on Seven Banks going in the first round. So didn't see that coming, and now he's at LSU. So. And same with Cam Brown. I mean, injuries have plagued him. Who knows how good he could be.
Well, we're about to find out.
You know what, though? I could totally see fucking Seven Banks, because he's at LSU, and say he starts and stays healthy, he's going to be a fucking All-American. Just watch. I could totally see it.
Maybe.
And then he ends up being
maybe.
That.
He had a serious hip injury. I don't know. So anyway, let's keep it moving here. Let's talk roster changes and the portal, things like that. Do we need to go back and talk about Quinn Ewers leaving? That seemed like that was a long time ago.
That was.
Just tell me if he's starting at Texas. Is he starting?
I think he has to, right?
What? No way.
I heard he's looking at number two right now.
I don't think
so. Two things I heard about Texas football. Oh, shit.
I don't think so.
They Sarkisian, he's drafted a couple, or not drafted, Jesus. Freudian slip. He recruited a couple of big quarterbacks. I don't think it's a given that Quinn Ewers is taking that job this year.
I don't care. I like Johnny Utah. Who's our boy? This kid's going to be good.
Devin Utah, yeah.
Devin Brown, yeah. So, talking about roster updates. So, we lost a bunch of dudes in December. Ryan Watts. We brought in Parker Lewis from SC. He's a kicker with 3 years of eligibility. Big leg.
Yeah,
I could see him.
Comments after the spring game. you had those comments about,
right?
I can't believe how they feel about football around here. It's crazy.
Right. So I see him being a kickoff guy and then in the future being your field goal guy. But right now he's got the bigger leg than Ruggles. And if you want continuous, you know, touchbacks and fair catches on the kickoff, I think he's your guy, which makes sense to me.
But Ruggles is back too, though, right?
He is back. Yeah, he took off school for this spring semester. He'll be back. Seven Banks, like we mentioned, LSU, Carmonte Hamilton is still lingering out there. Minor update. Jocelyn Wendt and Amir Reap still in the portal, but no updates on their legal case.
They're not confined. That case is not over.
No updates on the legal case. So they must be going to trial. Wow. And you know how going to trial takes like 10 years. So,
but still, I mean, but within 24 months, usually you have some movement on that. You know.
Yeah, who knows? It sounds like it's going to be a long time.
That's a long time to not be moving on that case. Wow.
I think that explains why they're still in the portal, because schools don't know their future.
Of course. Yeah. Of course, nobody's going to say anything. And say, so can you imagine, though, man, 2 years, right? It's been two full years? 2020, yeah.
February 2020.
Like, just what are these kids doing? Like, you know, like, if they're not in custody... And shit, they're just sitting around like, I guess we just wait and see if they bring charges. That's a bad feeling to have about getting up and going to work every day. You can't go to school.
You don't have a place to go.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You got to go find a job, and then you wake up every day like, is this the day they press charges, or is this the day we go to? You know, I get locked up. That's a tough way to deal with, you know.
Yeah.
So whether you did it or not. Yeah.
Damn. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving here. We don't need to dwell on old news.
No, but
Legend Cavazos.
Crazy to hear that.
Right, I know. Legend Cavazos and Jacoby Cowan both transferred to North Carolina. You got Bryson Shaw reuniting with his boy Grinch out in Southern Cal. You got Andre Turrentine, one of the most recent transfer entries, going to Tennessee. Hopefully he got a bag. And then Marcus Hooker still lingering out there with no home yet. So those are the guys that have left. Who have we brought in there? Let's look at this real quick. Besides the kicker, let's see.
Our numbers were big, though, so we couldn't bring in too much.
Yeah, we really didn't bring in anybody. Yeah, I'm just running through this roster list just to make sure that I'm not missing anything. But, yeah, you did have Chip Traynham came in, a linebacker slash running back from ASU. And, of course, the safety, McAllister. Those are really the only three additions, the kicker and then the safety and the linebacker.
The butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker.
There you go. And then we got our incoming freshmen and stuff, that some of them aren't on campus yet. So, yeah, a lot of moving parts, but for the most part, Brian Day, which, you know, you should expect to hear this from him, is not going to live in the portal. You know, this is not Mel Tucker. This is not SMU. This is not... you know, some of these other schools that are just living day to day through the portal. His goal is to recruit high school kids and develop them for the NFL. You know, that's his sales pitch. So, seems to be working fine. Recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, we're at that next level. Go ahead.
Recruiting. We got a few commits. Recruiting, we got a couple commits. Most recently, we got Austin Saraveld from Lakota East down in the Cincinnati area. We got the top three O-linemen out of Ohio, which is probably key, right? We need to take five. We definitely need tackles, though, right? It depends on where Luke Montgomery ends up on the line out of Findlay, representing the 419. He could be a tackle. He's super athletic. He plays on LeBron James' son's AAU basketball team. So the kid's good. You know, he's got feet, hands.
Joe, about Luke, he played tight end also in high school. But they're talking about he might be playing guard in college.
Yeah.
Like he may be moving all the way from not even tackle, but moving to guard.
Right.
I believe so. He played tackle and tight end at Finland.
He might have. I don't know about the tight end part. I know he definitely played tackle.
I'm speaking to his athleticism, which is why I heard he might. They're not sure if he's going to move to tackle. I was kind of wondering. I was like, well, he seems pretty athletic to be having to be shoved in more further inside to a guard spot.
Yeah, we'll see. It's still early. I mean,
he's still in high school. Mick hasn't had him yet.
Henry, what do you think about this? This Ohio and Florida mix of this 2023 class so far. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids from Ohio and 1, 2, 3, 4 from Florida.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'd like to see you know, a couple more from there. I'd like to see, you know, 2 or 3 from Texas. You know, a couple Pennsylvania, Virginia kids here and there. Maybe New Jersey.
Joe, I heard something about the top 3 linemen in Ohio. The last time we took the top 3 linemen in Ohio was, I think, 2009.
Yeah.
And 2 of them made the pros, and Marcus Hall was the 3rd. Marcus Hall was a solid starter for us. So Jack Muir, Corey Linsley, Marcus Hall. The last time we took the last 3 top in Ohio, it turned out, you know, they all turned out to be players. So it is nice to have the top 3. Now I want to go get 2 more 5 stars, and I'll be happy.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
that's my concern.
You know, they're outside the 150. So I mean, we definitely need to be in on some of these 5 stars as well. We have the room for 2 or 3 more linemen. I think there's about 23 in this class.
Yeah, we need two more linemen for sure. We need a total of 5. Looking like Ennis is probably in the class. Whether we get Carnell Tate still up in the air because Tennessee's coming hard with a lot of cash. So that's up in the air. But, yeah, we definitely have some 5 stars that you could almost pencil in to the class. Guys like Richard Young, I'm not sure about. And
Who's the other Sensabaugh, right? Sensabaugh's the other running back?
What?
Is that his name? Bright Sensabaugh?
No.
There was 2 5-star running backs that we were still
Richard Young still is the at. Guy we're going Richard after. Young. That's the only one that we're really going after that's a 5-star. You know, you got DJU's brother. So there's a lot of guys still out there that we're in on. Justice Haynes, he could end up playing fucking baseball. So we don't know about him. He's a running back. Tackett Curtis,
that might be the name that was in my head, man.
This linebacker out of Louisiana, he's right there on the Louisiana-Texas border. Linebacker looks like a fucking stud. I really like this kid, and LSU apparently is not even in on him.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
How? Yeah. Well, how? Yeah, Brian Kelly, you know, he lives to the beat of his own drum. He's an idiot.
LSU does not lose 5-star running backs out of Louisiana.
If they don't recruit him, they do.
If there's a 5-star in that state, I don't think they have ever left. Not that I can remember.
Yeah, we don't get a ton of kids from Louisiana.
That would be huge.
No, we sure don't.
No, we never do. That would be huge, though, to get an inroad. I mean, that would mean more than just getting that kid. It would mean more grand scheme. That would be
Yeah.
Huge.
When you think about recruiting strategies, this is what Ohio State does. They find a weakness in a state where maybe there's a coaching change or a coach is on his way out or just came in, and they pounce in those areas. That's why they're big in Florida right now. You got like all the colleges in Florida are new coaches or struggling, you know. Nobody has come in. I mean, if anybody, you could say Mario Cristobal is the best of the four, yeah. Maybe.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he hasn't even played a game yet.
As far as recruiting, though, dude knows how to recruit at the highest levels.
But he has to do it.
That's for sure.
He hasn't done it
yet. Oh, yeah, he has to do it, yeah. But he's starting his shit, you know, day one as soon as he got there, what, 6 months ago or 3 months ago?
Yeah, it was January.
Yeah. So I mean, he's running full steam ahead. Miami is, but mm-hmm. it's still Miami, and they're still legs behind. But you have that Southern dude at Florida, yeah, and Noel at Florida State, not the best. They're trying to gain the traction, but yeah, they're still young. They're still new in the area.
Yeah, Billy Napier is at Florida.
Napier, but he's recruited the South his whole life. He just gets into bigger high schools now, you know. So they can pull. And plus, with NIL, your coach doesn't have to be great with career. Mm-hmm. If your money's right, yeah. Your coach is right. You know,
that's these kids that's still want to play on Sunday. That's the reality of it. And if they're going to get $20,000 yeah. more here at this school, I mean, the idiot kids will take that. Right. But if you want to play on Sundays, you're going to go to the place that gives you the best chance to develop you and do that.
Exactly. Development is still the key.
Yeah, because I don't care how good you think you are. They're talking about, you know, you don't. Can you imagine if 18-year-olds could go right to the NFL? I mean, maybe there's the rare occasion that would work, but that's a fucking man's game there.
Oh, yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
I don't see many 18-year-olds that can fucking do that.
Look at CJ Stroud going straight to the NFL for 3 years. He didn't have the shit knocked out of him.
He was like 190 pounds when he came out of high school.
What kind of development is that for somebody? Yeah, I'm completely overmatched in everything I do against these grown men for 3 years. That's not development. You're not getting better.
The only position that you could possibly be close if you had great high school program is maybe running back or receiver. If you're fully developed as a senior and in high school, running back or receiver, they're definitely not O-line, D-line. Definitely not quarterback.
Like a Leonard Fournette. He came out of high school.
Yeah.
Built to run in the NFL. It may have been, you know, yeah. Like
Henry.
It's a rare case. Derrick Henry. Yeah. He was 225 in high school, mowing over people, carrying kids down the field.
But that's – yeah, exactly. Yeah, perfect example. But look at how often that is. You know, once every 5 years.
And we've not allowed it to happen. And you know what? I don't care. I don't think they're not even the physical, the mental.
That's where it is.
The whole shebang.
18-year-olds can't handle pro lifestyle.
I don't know. That is a man's game. That's a different level. You're going to go from high school. I mean, that's not even like the same sport.
Right.
I mean, that's you're playing a completely different game than you've ever played in your life. You're going from that to that. Yeah.
Look at how many five stars struggled just to go from high school to college. In college, where everything is mapped out for you.
Well, right. Those two kids that have the sophomore years that are like, whoa, Jadavian Clowney.
Right.
His sophomore year, people said, you shouldn't even play your junior year. Don't even play a game. You're already the number one.
Saquon Barkley.
So, maybe there should be like an exception rule that, like, if you qualify, you can be like in that case, because he should have went to pros and been the number one pick.
I think maybe you could drop it a year. Maybe you could drop it a year.
I mean, just let people leave after the sophomore year. Maybe that's it.
But how do you? That's pretty sticky when you start trying to create qualifications why this guy is able to go when this guy isn't. You know, I don't know how you decide.
If the league wanting that person is telling you, No, he's going to be one of the first 10 people picked. Yeah, you should let him come. He's. I mean, we all think he's ready.
Their draft grades that they get back from the scouts. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you know, NCAA is doing. They do the basketball kind of right because you can go all the way to the draft and not sign an agent, and then you can pull out like a week before the draft,
right?
Or a couple weeks before the draft, you know, in basketball to get those evaluations. So
I pull out at the last minute typically, but anyway. So let's talk. let's talk future of college football before the night gets away from us. We're quickly. The hourglass is running. So Gene
said pulling out.
So she said. So Gene had some interesting comments at these meetings out in Scottsdale this week with all of the big power players and the TV networks. Basically, a meeting of the minds out there. And so he says that the power. I think he was speaking on regard to the Power Five. About them breaking away from the NCAA because they have the ability to create their own governing body for the Power Five. And he didn't come out and say the Power Five, so that's why I'm still kind of up in here. Did he mean the Big Ten? Did he mean Big Ten and SEC? Did he mean just the Power Five? I don't know. Anyway, so he's saying they do have the ability to create their own governing body for a breakaway from the NCAA because, like, he's basically saying, without saying it, he's saying, this is not the same sport. We are not playing the same sport as, you know, lower levels of Division I, as UMass or, you know, pick a rando school that sucks. A MAC team. So he's saying we have the ability to break away and basically be our own organization. And so this leads us down the path and into the Big Ten TV deal that's coming up. That's going to be signed by the end of this month, and that's going to be $1 billion a year, man. And it's going to be a combination of Fox, a little bit of ESPN. Who knows, it might have some streaming like Amazon or Apple TV involved. Who knows? But the total is going to be $1 billion for the conference. And this is what's causing this NIL explosion. And this is why we have this huge influx of cash and have for years into college football and into these schools. And that's why the schools don't know what the fuck to do with it. So they just keep building new shit, increasing coaches' salaries. Now they're giving – Ohio State's going to give academic bonuses to their athletes if they reach a certain parameter every semester, you know, up to $1,500 a semester per player. But this Big Ten TV deal is the really the influx. That's going to be $70 million per school, and it starts next year. And you know these schools are already trying to figure out what the fuck they're going to do with all this money. It's like a Brinks truck is just backing up to the Woody and unloading cash, you know. So...
Well,
Jeff, turn off your video, please. Thank you. So anyway, I wanted to say
the previous deal, though, Joe, we were making what, $50 million per school?
I don't know if it was even that much, honestly. And Maryland and Rutgers were still on their double secret probation because they're not long-term members. And I don't even think they're getting any money yet. Do I have you?
Well, yeah, I'm here. So, I mean, that's a big, you know, you add $20 million to any football team's budget. Now it stays, it gets dispersed throughout the athletic department. It doesn't stay in, like, the football team's budget. But what Gene Smith's kind of talking about is potentially it could. Like, the football team is going to be, it might be its own separate entity from the university. Is that kind of what Gene Smith was kind of, like, potentially talking about? Like, the football teams of these universities are a part of something separate from the other athletics that aren't.
He didn't say that exactly, but he didn't deny that.
He kind of led to that being
the door's open for sure.
Right, like a potential of what society could be.
Right. Sean, what do you think about right now the way we're moving and this revenue sharing bill that was just put on the floor in the California State Senate? And it passed through their judiciary committee, you know, and they got 50,000 committees, of course, and everything. So they're going to vote on it again. It's going to get rewritten and rewritten and rewritten. But does NIL and then maybe this revenue sharing that turns college football players into almost full-time employees or at least unionized employees, how do you feel about this?
Well, it's going to be the beginning of the end of regular football. I think college football in 5 years won't look like what it does today. And it'll...
The game or the business? The game itself or the business, huh?
Both. Because I don't think college football will necessarily be as ubiquitous nationwide. Hoping it stays that way, but I feel like there's going to be some type of super league where they are their own governing body. And I hope it doesn't kill like Mac football and stuff like that. I hope that's still a thing. But will it be that closely associated with the schools? All this money these kids are making, I don't know. Are they allowed to have agents now? If they're making that much money, I mean, so they've got agents.
Yeah, because you have to have somebody represent you for the NIL deals. Right. The school's not doing it.
What's the liability? What's the thing? When I don't know. There's a lot of what ifs here. It's moving pretty fast, and
there's no rules. That seems to be a big issue. There's no rules to NIL. And you got Stroud tampering. Right now,
Stroud right now has an agent. He has an agent that can ink him whatever deals he fucking wants. As long as it's not tobacco or strip clubs or drugs,
alcohol.
Alcohol. I mean, other that's the only guidelines that we've ever heard about, right? It can't be because those are school policies. So can't be tobacco, gambling, whatever those basic guidelines. But that's the only guidelines that any of us have ever heard.
Yeah.
And every school is different. According to every state is different. And until any of that gets unionized, there has to, I don't even know who the governing, you know, it's a big question of who should control this. Should the NCAA just expect a bailout from from the Congress and have Congress do it?
That didn't go well last time.
No.
And the Supreme Court didn't go well with them either.
Sankey and what the fuck is his name from the Pac-12 were just in D.C. this week.
Yeah.
Because they're wanting Congress to, hey, it sounds like though at least now they want to say, hey, this is what we want to do. Help us enact it.
Right. But before, and they got fucking bitch slapped by this congresswoman the other day.
Yeah.
And because they're idiots and they can't do anything on their own.
Yeah, speaking of the NCAA,
right, and you got Mark Emmert on his way out next year, so he's thrown his hands up obviously for how many years now, and why would he care now?
Yeah, he wants to get his 3.5 and be gone. He's cool. He's like, let me get my 3.5 this year. I don't give a fuck. Y'all's problem. He's like backing away slowly. Right.
So my concern, guys, is I think they're creating. And this may be in baby steps. This may not happen overnight. But I think they're creating a semi-pro league. I mean, college football has always been a minor league for the NFL. But now they're separating themselves.
For a pre-minor league at the time. Yeah, it was at one point.
Right. So this is the nightmare that I wake up to. And that is we turn on a Saturday game at noon. Late November, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and it's the Columbus Buckeyes sponsored by The Ohio State University versus the Ann Arbor Wolverines sponsored by the University of Michigan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there,
that would be a.
This
a,
is what
a,
I picture in my head. Low.
That would be the low. I mean, that would. God, that would be miserable. Yeah. Think, you know.
It's going that way. I mean, there's too much money involved. Everyone's a gangster and a crook.
Yeah.
Everywhere, and everyone's just trying to get theirs right now, and it's a giant shit show. And that, everyone's in that giant money pile, like you said. You know, but everyone wants some. And so that's going to bring out the worst of everybody. And sure.
You will see agents multiply by the thousands in like little pods.
Well, this is the issue. When you don't put any rules in effect, the adults in the room, which you trust to actually make good decisions, are the ones ruining it. You know, they're the ones offering everybody money. You know,
that's the first rule is don't trust people that are making decisions in a room. If they can't make them in public, then it's bullshit.
Right.
Yeah. Can you imagine though? I mean, just getting to a point where, is there going to be any regulation to these kids that come out of high school? It's going to be, it's like free agency coming out of high school, right? So,
whatever the sell
package Ohio State has now and Bama has now, it's going to be the same sell package. It's just included in the school, the development, the atmosphere, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be, here's the contracts we can, the money that can be offered to you.
Well, look at this 50-50 revenue sharing, Jeff. 50-50. So take that $1 billion. That goes to every school, in half, and then divide that among 85 scholarship players.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's six figures per person if you don't even fucking play.
And that's what I'm saying. Is that going to be an equal distributorship, or is that going to be somehow marketized, I guess, by like how professional sports are? Because they get revenue sharing in the professional sports, but not everybody gets the same
share. Jeff? There's no fucking rules.
The teams do. There's in professional sports, there's from the league,
of course,
the teams money, and then from the teams it goes to the players.
Right.
In college, the college ain't taking the money. It's all just going from whoever to the players.
Right.
So there's no second hand. There's no filter. It's fucking wild. it's not the same. It cannot be the same as professional sports. You can't run it the same. It can't operate the way it is now and be professional. There's going to be some give one way or the other. Like you said, Sean, this might be the down. This might be the last bit of college football that we see of these next couple of years until new contracts are up. But it may turn it. There might be enough people strong enough to keep it. And appease everybody's needs as far as revenue sharing. But not make it something different. Get it back, kind of keep it on the rails and just figure out a way to just keep getting people money. I don't think we're going to see different types of college football for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. I think if we're going to see college football like we've been seeing college football, it's going to, the viewers, the viewingship of it, I don't think it's going to be changing.
Sean, what do you think about when you introduce revenue sharing, that sounds like, big business type stuff where you got to have a union bartering with management, right?
Right. Well, at first it'll start out, management will say, hey, here's the rules. And then the people that are getting it will realize, hey, we're getting fucked here.
Yep.
And you're right. It'll go to someone like, hey, we need someone to negotiate on all our behalfs across all sports. And, we need a steward with management. And then, it could come down to something like that. And if I don't know what it generates, but
That quarterback from Northwestern tried that shit years ago. Use that guy now.
What was he doing?
He was trying to set up unionization in college sports.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I forget his name. Sure he's rich. And
I don't see. I just it got out of hand, and we it got out of hand, and we get what we get, and this is the natural progression with what we've created with this monster college football.
Yeah, this influx of cash.
It's run by gangsters at the top, the NCAA, yeah, and these athletic directors and these companies, and it's Gangsterville.
Yeah, but these collectives are not helping matters, especially since they're set up by boosters, which suddenly I think people forgot that boosters aren't supposed to have contact with recruits. That's like a number one no-no
when it not comes anymore, right?
They weren't supposed to ever.
That's still a rule.
Now the NCAA says they're going to, you know, come up with these random rules and stuff. But, you know, everybody takes that with a grain of salt.
Well, hold on. Why can't boosters be part of an NIL deal? I'm imagining they are. Most of the NIL deals are coming.
So. Yes, they very much are, but they're not supposed to have contact with a recruit. You know, there is this quote-unquote gray area where, yes, they can set up a collective like Brian Schottenstein did for Ohio State, but he's not supposed to technically show this recruit, this is what we can do for you, and, you know, give him a PowerPoint presentation. You know, of, you know, we can make you $7 million over your four-year career. They're still not supposed to have that contact, but I mean, Texas A&M has been the poster child for exactly doing that, you know, and that's why they have the number one class in the country this coming year. So, yeah, I'm just really concerned about the future. If I do say I gotta get this one point off my chest before we move on or continue, I will not watch a semi-pro college football league or whatever it might be, any organization that is basically just guys playing for money where there's no attachment. Once you remove the attachment to the university, I don't know what we're watching then. That seems like the USFL to me. Am I off?
I would hope that you would keep Ohio State football and build it, and there'd be like that would still be like the farm league to that league or whatever or something.
So like a minor league?
Yeah, essentially. And your best kids go to the other league, but you know, there's a lot of good kids that aren't going to get in that. You know, it's not going to be enough teams. There's still going to be a lot of dudes that can play football. And the talent level and gap would probably bring a lot of parity to college football. I don't know though. Then does you know? But if
you're talking about two different leagues developing.
If college football were to maintain like a sub, you know, a minor league, you know, you wouldn't get a guy like Ryan Day. I mean, college football is a big deal right now, and it's to me a big deal to be a big time program coach. If there becomes another league between that and the NFL, now it's, I don't know. Now you're the best high school coach. I mean, who gives a shit?
I hear you.
But what if you're doubling Ryan Day's salary and all of his assistants to move up into this breakaway from the NCAA, whatever you want to call it, the P5 organization? What if you're going to, because of all this cash coming in from the TV networks, what if you just say, look, guys, we have all this money. We don't know what to do with it. We know you're great at coaching and developing players for the NFL. So we're separating from the NCAA. Let's double your salaries, and you continue to do the same job. That seems like a yes to me.
Well, yeah, if you're talking like those top colleges, like, the
Ohio State, Alabama,
those Georgia, that, you know, take the cream of the crop in whatever that number you want to be. You want that number to be 25 or 20 or 30 or 40, whatever you want that conference to be, and then just play them. Y'all just play each other and name your national title. That's still college football to me. I'll still watch Ohio State, even though they've separated from, you know, the Mountain West and the MAC and all them. They don't compete on the same level. I'll still, since we're still competing against other colleges
at all levels. But what if you disconnect the school from the football team? Like I said, a semi-pro league, the Columbus Buckeyes.
The college one never.
Obviously, the college will never lend their name to a semi-pro league that they
don't have. You pay for the license. You pay for the licensing of the colors and the logo, and you probably have to pay like a rental fee for the fucking stadium. But
so who pays
the rest of it is off. The rest of it is off campus.
Who would pay that though to the schools?
This organization. The organization that collects the checks.
Who's gonna fund women's rowing?
That's still up to the school. The school's gonna have to handle that.
without the revenue.
Yeah, if you get rid of that, then basically you've just destroyed the rest of college athletics.
Right. Because
football pays for that.
Right.
And I mean, all these student athletes, you know, there wouldn't be these wrestling teams and hockey teams and gymnastics teams that generate. They're only a liability. They suck money out of the schools.
Sean, you got the Nevada Buck Tennis Center on campus. He can handle that. His family pays for that shit.
I don't know, man.
I'm just kidding. No, I understand your point, but if Gene says they're breaking away from the NCAA, if that's just football, because all the other sports drain the system, I don't know. It seems logical to me.
I mean, I don't know, because college sports can build on the back of college football.
Mm-hmm. I won't deny that at all, and that's my point. That's my exact point.
Always has, and if it continues, it always will.
Yep.
The college is, so maybe Joe, by selling, like you said, selling the name and rights to semi-pro teams, this is how they supplement, that's the income that they need to run the other sports in the school. Maybe that's it.
Yep.
Or, you know, and it's not really logical for them to, you know, to say, all right, these top 40 universities or whatever, admit we're going to do our own thing. We're going to separate top 50. You know, you take all the sports with it. And then so let only those other sports compete against those top schools.
Well, that's the problem is like Ohio State.
Really to their sport.
Ohio State and Stanford have 36 total sports, whereas the SEC teams, most of those schools have like half.
18.
Usually. Like
18,
so like half of what Ohio State has in total sports, so you can't really create a level playing field for all sports. That's impossible.
And that was the point I was going to make, because like schools like Johns Hopkins, yeah, they're in the Big Ten for lacrosse.
Exactly,
they're a powerhouse in lacrosse.
Right,
and they're in the Big Ten, but they don't have other sports.
Right,
the schools that are only basketball schools.
Yep.
Notre
Dame, the ACC.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you can't really. I was just bringing up the point that you can't bring all the sports from your school and keep them and just bring them all into this power super conference, because it's not relatable.
Right. That's why I'm saying breaking football away from the NCAA, as Gene said this, and this is not like him just being wasted at the bar. You know that he has thought this through and probably talked to other athletic directors about it and presidents, like the president of Ohio State, probably, you know. So this is not just him, you know, with a brain fart one day.
Yeah, but there's a lot of speculation. I mean, it could mean a million things, and who knows what that means by. I think we're insinuating a lot of things, and a lot more detail needs to be said. Regarding any of that.
Right, and none of this is going to happen overnight.
And what that means. But something like that will happen. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they can hold out for another 5 years, you know, introduce a 8-16-team playoff or something. But it's, I don't know, this money's pouring in. From everywhere.
What was that new deal, the CFP? Inked, as far as for it, they said it was going to guarantee to stay four teams for the next 3 years or 4 years?
Oh, that's still on the same contract. It's the contract doesn't expire until 26. Yeah.
I just was saying 25 or 26. I couldn't remember.
So that, yeah.
Okay. So I mean, maybe we don't see any change until they just kind of line it all up together with the contract renewal. But I guarantee that. But that's if that's going to happen, then it's being put in motion now. Especially with Emmert being the lame duck, you know, the weakness of the NCAA right now. They might be looking for a way out too. You know, if the whoever it is, is it the athletic directors or is it the presidents that are meeting with the NCAA saying, hey, we think we're going to try, you know, let's talk about an exit plan here and kind of work it.
Well, that's the thing is the CFP is a contract with the TV networks. The CFP is not a contract with the NCAA whatsoever. Yeah. So it's completely separate.
Yeah, yeah.
The CFP is strictly with the TV networks, with ESPN. And so in 3 years or whatever, it's just a matter of, you know, do you guys want to break off from the NCAA because you're not represented there anyways, you know, and just sign this contract with just the Power 5 conference commissioners or something to that effect, Power 3. It could be whatever, you know. Pick your bag. So it could, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guarantee the next contract is inked. You're not going to have five power conferences and four automatic bids. That will be changed.
Well,
there's only four involved. There's only a power four, or they're gonna expand the numbers.
But is the Big 12 really a power five once they lose Texas and Oklahoma?
That's what I'm leading to, Joe. Now, are they gonna stay with five conferences?
They're getting Cincinnati.
It's the Cincinnati UCF. Yeah, the best of the rest. I mean, they're getting. I mean, they're doing what they can. I mean,
yes.
I mean, they can't do any better. So they've gotten the best schools they could.
Yeah, they're picking their teeth up off the floor. But they've already gotten their ass kicked.
I just can't imagine these commissioners. If these commissioners of these conferences are still worth a fuck, and the egos they probably have,
well,
you can't. They're not going to agree to a new agreement that says guaranteed four teams. Only, you know, guaranteed four of the five of us will make it. Mm-hmm. They're going to want guarantees that if there's going to be five of them, that five of them have a chance to make it. You know, the champion from each.
Right.
It just, you know, the. This should have never been a Power Five when they said we're only going to allow four, and we're gonna weigh conference championships as a big deal,
right,
and then only have four slots. And what if all five people win their conference championships? You know, the fifth one's like, what the fuck? I won mine too. So I just that's going to be the numbers will expand, or they're going to go down to four conferences, and that could make what 18 team conferences or 20 team conferences. Maybe four 20-team conferences.
Yeah, it depends on how they get absorbed. Yeah, but yeah.
Right, exactly. And who wants who? And then you got a whole new bidding on. Yeah. You know,
Ohio like State doesn't want Cincinnati in their conference because then it becomes like a rival for recruiting and everything.
But they would love to drop. Well, we would love to drop Illinois. You know, shit like that.
Right.
That could lead to a whole. You know, then with NIL and transfer portal and all that bullshit, and then the football teams and the organizations for football are worrying about that and their free market, you know, player acquisitions. You have the colleges also fighting and jockeying for position in this new landscape of, you know, who's coming where and when, and you know who's got the pull that can bring other teams with them, you know, because they're going to want Ohio State, but who are we going to hitch our wagon to as far as who we'll say we'll pull with us, and well, do they want who we're pulling with us? And
that's the other thing.
You know, you never know.
When we're talking about this CFP contract, you know, obviously brings in huge money because basically it's the TV network footing the bill to whatever conferences they align with.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have the power. And as They kind of always have. With the money that they're throwing at these colleges, they have the power to determine what conferences they sign on that contract. Right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they are. They are definitely. They're pulling strings. ESPN having the control of the CFP, they're pulling strings on a lot of that. But there's all kinds of meetings. And the shit that like Dean Smith spoke about to that, all that that we just discussed about conference realignment, all of that. I mean, can you imagine those conversations where anything and everything is going on in college football from how many different angles?
I think it just basically says, as far as college football goes, everything's on the table.
Everything.
This could go,
right. Yeah.
This could go one of a million ways.
Right.
Right. Sure. So yeah, I mean, I don't think. Like I said, I don't think the games over the next couple of years are going to change. Like we're still going to see the games the way we've been watching them. But like, it's going to be crazy. Like from year to year, it might be like a whole new team.
But we're like 1 year into NIL, and Texas A&M's got like the best class ever,
right?
And because they're smart about it, you get that Texas money rolling around there, College Station, and
but
other teams are gonna figure it out. There's a lot of other rich schools out there too,
right? And they were the first one to get organized on NIL. Now you see USC is last to the party, but they're throwing a lot of money around.
And they'll do well out there on the wet. Yes. They're going to, USC has a real good chance of becoming real good real quick again.
Sure.
Real good.
Yeah.
Because they got the coaches throwing that money around. The guys
they got
all
the money
up.
Now. They can get all those kids back. I mean, they used to get every good kid west of the Mississippi.
Right.
I mean, unless you were in Texas, they'd get every Arizona kid, every California kid.
Yeah. Utah.
Reggie Bush was from Nevada. Louisiana, wasn't he?
No, San Diego.
No, I thought he was from
Joe McKnight. Joe McKnight.
They pull some of those kids too. They don't just get all the best kids on that side of the country. They'll pull from your side too.
Yeah. Exactly. So, all right, boys, that was a good conversation, and so we actually solved nothing, but our ears are on alert, and we see the change coming. Is what I gather, right?
Yeah, it could be. It really could go a million different ways. This NIL could correct itself too. People start realizing they're giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars to these kids that don't fulfill it.
I know who's going to pay for these losses. Can you write these losses off to taxes? And what are all the rules with all that shit, man? You're talking about big money. You're not talking about, huge losses for a company.
What if Bijan blows out an ACL in first week of the season? How's that Lambo dealership feeling about that?
Yeah, what's the fine print in that contract that they signed? Yeah. So you're going to have kids. You want to talk about 18, 19, 20-year-olds getting distracted. Now they're going to have their lawyers mixed up in contract disputes. And their girlfriend's gonna be fucking around on.
What if the
18-year-old and they're gonna be getting pressured
an 18-year-old gets
we're gonna have a million things.
Getting in an argument with his girlfriend or driving a little bit drunk home and this guy's representing whatever.
Right. Yeah. I mean I saw Bryce Young was at a 5-star resort last weekend in Southern California, and then I just saw this weekend CJ Stroud is in the U.S. Virgin Islands at a 5-star resort.
Beautiful, yeah. The guys from the Athletic, Ari Wasserman, is getting married out there.
Right, exactly, Bryce Young was at the resort. So it's like, so this is what we got. So anyways.
They're living their lives. If people are going to pay them for it, shit. I mean.
They're making 7 figures, dude. I can't argue with them. I would do the same shit.
Yeah,
with my free time, I'm going to 5-star resorts on the island.
Yeah. You're 19, 20 years old? Like, fuck it, man. So,
you don't have to go to Sandals.
die from the Freon leak or whatever they got going on. I heard about that shit today.
Anyway, so, all right, folks, hope you enjoyed that show. Tried to give you a good, I guess, view of how we see things going. But as we know, this is all in motion still, and it's going to play out over the next few years. I do think when that CFP contract ends, everybody's going to want to have their chips in order and have their conferences sorted out, who's going to be on TV where, and how many playoff teams there will be, you know. So I think that's kind of your end point or your milestone or whatever. But Jeff and Sean, appreciate you guys, as always, and appreciate our Buckeye listeners. We will come back with another show in the middle of summer. Is that definitive enough?
Hi.
All right, boys, have a good night.
Whenever, brother, anytime.
Talk to you later.
Later.
All right. Go Bucks.